Talking about spiritual maturity. We talked about the act of conversion. We talked a little bit about what comes next, and that is the act of growth. And so I want to deal a little bit, starting today, with things that actually pertain to spiritual maturity or spiritual growth. And so we're going to talk a little bit today about the concept of the Holy Spirit. Okay, what role does the Holy Spirit play in our lives concerning our spiritual growth? When we become Christians, actually our battle is just beginning. Because I'm telling you that the old devil is not going to turn loose of us just because we were baptized and received the blood of Jesus. If anything, he's going to step up his efforts. In fact, Peter makes a comparison to effort to the devil over in, I think it's 1 Peter chapter 3, somewhere over there. Anybody remember what he compares him to? A roaring lion. Okay. And he says he's like a roaring lion walking about on the earth seeking someone to devour. Okay. Now, have you ever thought about how the devil works in the world? What is the devil's number one tool? What's his number one tool? Well, that falls under the category of what I'm talking about. Okay. It's deception. Okay? He deceived Eve, did he not? He said, oh, you're not going to die. You know, God just knows that when you eat that fruit that you're going to become smart like him. So he deceived Eve. And he still uses that tool very well today. And that's his main tool. If he can deceive you into believing something is something other than what it actually is, then it's easy for him to suck you in. Okay? And so we need to be very careful about the devil. He's very powerful. He's very deceptive. He's very cunning. Okay? And so he's never going to give up on us. And so therefore, we need some help along the way. Right? And God has never left us alone. Okay? Jesus talked about when I go back to heaven, okay, when I ascend back into heaven, I'm not going to leave you alone. He said, I'm going to send the comforter to you. He said, I can't send him until I go away. Okay. But what's that comforter going to do for us, that Holy Spirit? What's he going to do for us? Okay. He's going to remind us of all the things that Jesus said. Now, we've got that written word today that is recorded for us, but we can go there and read those things. And those words are there because the Spirit inspired those writers to write those things down. Okay. So he reminds us, he teaches us, he guides us, he counsels us, he comforts us, okay? Now, I don't know about you, but in my life, I've never felt the Holy Spirit in my life. You know what I mean by feeling? How do we know that the Spirit lives within us? What is the evidence we see that the Spirit lives within us? You see, normally we want to associate the idea of the Holy Spirit was something very mystical, you know, like miracles, speaking in tongues, or some divine manifestation of that. That's normally what we think of when we think of the Spirit. That's not what the Spirit is today. Okay, that stuff ended back at the end of the first century. Okay, that's no longer in existence. So how then does the Spirit work with us today? We're going to talk a little bit about this morning because if we don't have a visual and a tangible idea of seeing and hearing and feeling the Spirit, then sometimes we get the question that, you know, the idea that maybe the Spirit is not indwelling in me. Okay? So we want to think about that a little bit this morning. It's very, very easy for the devil to deceive us in that way also. So we need to think about those things. Okay, someone read for me Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. Someone have it?
For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places.
That sounds pretty dire to me, does it not to you? Our wrestle is with who? Spiritual host, heavenly host? That's tough, isn't it? To know that I've got some heavenly host waging battle against me. Okay? And then we're told the passage a while ago that the devil is roaming around like a roaring lion. It almost makes life seem like it's hopeless, doesn't it? Okay? So we've got that we have to deal with. All right? And then we have our internal instincts that try to lead us the wrong way also. Over in James, what, chapter 1? I have to get back up here and look at them because I don't remember scriptures very good. James chapter 1 and verse 14. Someone gets there, just go ahead and read it. James chapter 1 and verse 14. Okay. What are we dragged away and enticed by? What entices us? Where do those enticements come from? From within. Okay. So we've got these heavenly spirits and we've got the devil waging war against us. Then we've got our internal, natural desire to do evil coming without. Because let's face it, we're naturally selfish. You know, we're greedy. We're looking out for number one. See, those things are learned. They're taught to us. They're not things that we just naturally do. Okay. So we've got the heavenly spirits waging war against us. We've got our internal desire to do evil, fighting a war against us. Then we have this idea of false doctrines. They're all around us today. Okay. And we're very susceptible to being drawn into some of these false doctrines. Okay. And they can cost us our salvation if we're not careful. So with all these things working against us, you know, it seems like we're just fighting and losing battles sometimes, doesn't it? Okay. But we have help. We have help. And that's in the person of God through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was sent to us to help us to wage these battles and fight these battles. Okay. Now, all of us who are baptized believers have the assurance that the Spirit lives within us. Okay. How do we know that? How do we know that? All right, Peter said that on the day of Pentecost. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, unto salvation, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, that's not a miraculous manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Okay? That is the Holy Spirit living within us. Okay? So, I'm not on my own. Go over to 1 John chapter 4. And let's read the verses 3 through 6. 1 John chapter 4, verses 3 through 6. Yes, ma'am. Okay, notice what he said now. Every spirit that does not confess Jesus Christ has come in the flesh and is not of God. And then he calls him an antichrist there. Okay, we go over to the book of Revelation and we read about the coming of the antichrist. The people today, they interpret that to be sometime in the future there's going to be one demon-like character going to come to earth and he's going to cause all kind of havoc on the earth. What does it mean? What does antichrist mean? What does it mean? Pretty simple, isn't it? Anti means what? Against? Against Christ. So anything that is against Christ is an antichrist. Okay? So we're not looking for some mystical demon type creature to come down in the future. It's going on right now. In fact, that's what John said right here. He's here now, even at this time. So those who are not believing in the Son of God as the Savior of the world and are going around and preaching false doctrine, they're antichrist. Okay? And so he goes on to say here that they're of the world, but you're not of the world. Okay, and I like what he said in verse 6. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Okay? How do we know that the Spirit lives within us? What did he say here? Because we're teaching and believing the Spirit of truth. Okay, where do we get that information from? It's from the Bible. Okay? So that's one of the ideas, one of the ways that we can know that the Spirit lives within us. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, verses 9 through 11. Romans chapter 8, verses 9 through 11. Don't be shy now. When you get there, go ahead and read it. We're going to run out of time.
But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him
Okay, so we are not in the flesh, but we are in the Spirit if the Spirit of God dwells within you. Well, what is the Spirit of God? We're talking about the Holy Spirit, but what does that imply? How can we know if we're reading and understanding and doing what He's told us to do? Okay. That's one of the things that the Spirit does for us, is He teaches us, okay, and helps us to understand the things that are in this book. Okay. So that's another way that we can understand that the Spirit is alive and well enough. Okay, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. 2 So here's another assurance that the Spirit, Holy Spirit, lives within us. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 14.
2
Okay. So this is Paul's instruction to Timothy to guard the things that the Holy Spirit has put within you. Okay, 1 John chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. 1 John chapter 4, verses 12 and 13.
No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. We know that we live in Him and He is in us because He has given us His Holy Spirit.
Okay, so these are our assurances from the Scripture that God, the Holy Spirit, lives within us. Now, here's the hard part about that is that since it's not tangible, it's something we can't see, it's something we can't feel, then we tend to think that maybe there is no such thing as a Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, in New Testament times, when they received this miraculous manifestation of the Holy Spirit, they were able to speak in tongues and perform miracles and heal people and raise the dead. And so we tend to associate those things together. And so we feel that, well, we're not witnessing anything like that today, so maybe that Holy Spirit is not living within us, even though the Scriptures teach us that they are. Now, that's the old devil. That's how we said he's cunning and he's deceiving. He's putting those ideas in our minds. Okay? And so God assures us, you know, that yes, we are children of God, and the Holy Spirit dwells within us, and we are called sons of God. Now, we did not receive the Spirit in order to become sons of God, but we received the Spirit because we are sons of God. Because Peter said on the day of Pentecost, baptize, and then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so let's think about that. You know, and let's just remember that, you know, as we're walking along in the Spirit, in the light, as the Scriptures call it, then the Spirit continues to dwell within each and every one of us. Okay, He's comforting us, He's counseling us, He's guiding us, and we're going to talk about some other things that He does for us here. But There are things that we can do to prevent that spirit from accomplishing what he's given to us to do. Can you think of something that we might do that would prevent that spirit from working within us?
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. That's what that Spirit is there for, to comfort us and guide us. Now, if we intentionally, you know, when we talk about walking in the light, that means we're doing what? We're putting forth an effort to walk in God's Word, okay? That means that we're walking. We're continually going forward. But now when I intentionally, okay, sin, not by mistake, we all sin every day, but I intentionally choose to sin, what does that do? That's what we're talking about. We're talking about quenching the Spirit. Now that doesn't mean that the Spirit ceases to work within us unless I persist in that way of life. Okay? Now I've gone from walking in the light to not walking in the light. And when I do that, and I specifically choose not to follow God and do what's wrong and continue in that, then we quench the Spirit. What do you mean we quench the Spirit? Okay. If we quench a fire, we put the fire out by pouring something in there, okay? And we can do that to the Spirit in our lives. And so therefore the Spirit no longer working in our lives, and we're no longer thinking about, the love, joy, peace, patience, those fruits of the Spirit. Now we're thinking about selfish things, and we've put the Spirit out of our lives. You see, it's funny how that works. God will give you exactly what you want. Okay, if I want to be a follower of God, then He allows that Spirit to work within us and help us along our journey. But if I choose and say, no, I'm not going to follow God anymore, He says, okay, that's your choice. Okay, that's just the way it is. And it's not that He wants to do that, and it's not that the Spirit wants to leave us. It's just that that's what separated us from God in the beginning, was our sin. And God will have nothing to do with sin. And the sooner we get that in our minds and understand that, the better we can understand the type of God that God is. He is a spiritual God, no association with sin whatsoever. And if we persist in living in sin, then the Spirit is quenched and God no longer has any association with us. Okay? Now, if I have not gone so far down that road, I can always turn and come back to God, and the Spirit will once again take up that residence. But if I continue that down that road, there's going to come a time when I just don't care anymore. Okay? And that's why it says it's impossible for that man to be turned again to salvation, because they've just gone so far that they don't care anymore. They want nothing to do with God. And we're in trouble when we get to that point in our lives. Okay. So let's turn our attention to some things that the Spirit does. We don't want to be guilty of quenching the Spirit, okay? We said that there's no miraculous gifts concerned, okay? And another thing that we need to understand before we get into this is that there is no miraculous conversion of any person, okay? A lot of people will say, well, the Spirit came down upon me and taught me and I became a Christian. It doesn't work that way, okay? The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, now, you don't remember anything else, just remember this. The Holy Spirit does not work outside what's written in this book. Okay? And we talk about becoming a Christian. How do we become Christians? How do we become believers in God? What? You have to hear the Word. Okay? Now, as we read that Word and study that Word, that Spirit works within us to help us convict us of our sins and turn to God. Okay? No person becomes a Christian outside of hearing the gospel preached. That's the only way. That's the only way that anybody becomes a Christian. So if someone says, well, the Spirit miraculously descended upon me and inspired me and I became a Christian, it's no good. It's no good without the gospel. Okay? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus has to be preached in order for that person to become a Christian. Now, I said preached. They can read it and understand it, but they're going to ask some questions. They're going to find somebody and they're going to ask them questions. Okay? But outside of this work, that Spirit does not work. Okay? So if anybody tells you that I received a divine manifestation and this is what we need to do, well, wait a minute, that's contrary to what the scriptures say. Okay? And so what you're saying is wrong. So we can't do that. So that's how the Spirit works. Okay. All right. First thing I want to talk about is the fact that one of the things that the Spirit does is that the Spirit gives us strength. Okay? Now, our salvation depends upon our victory over sin. Okay? We have to conquer sin in our lives in order for that to happen. Okay? Well, how does He help us do that? How does the Spirit help us to conquer sin in our lives? Through the Word. Through the Word. Okay? Go over to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16. The 16. Okay. So that Spirit strengthens us, okay? But it's in accordance with the will of God. Go back over to Romans chapter 8 and verse 13. Anybody have it? Yeah. I think that's what I said. Okay. So that's how we become strengthened. How do we put aside the deeds of the body? Remember I said in the beginning that it's our natural desire as human beings to follow after our own selfish desires. Okay. How do we put those aside? By the Spirit. The Spirit teaches us what we need to know. Okay? So, that's one of the ways that we're strengthened is that we grow in the Spirit by reading, studying, and understanding the Word of God. Okay? We mentioned before that that's how we grow in faith. Okay? Everything is centered around the Word of God. How do we grow in faith? We pray to God sometimes, give me more faith, God. Well, that's not something that's going to happen. How are we going to get that faith? By studying. Okay? Faith comes by
hearing.
And hearing what? The Word of God. That's the only way that you're going to grow in faith. Okay? We grow by hearing it and practicing it. And the more that we do it, the stronger our faith becomes. So if you want to grow in the faith, if you say, well, I'm weak in the faith, well, the obvious answer is then you need to study a little more. Okay? Because the more you understand, the greater your faith becomes. What is faith, by the way? It's belief. Okay? That's basically what it amounts to. And so the more you study and the more you understand, the greater your belief or your faith is going to come. Have you ever read a scripture sometime that you've read 1,000 times and you look at it and you go, I never saw that before. Okay? We do it all the time, don't we? And that's just the way the scriptures are. And that helps us to increase in our faith. Okay? So that's the idea of the help that the Spirit is going to give us. He's going to help us to grow in our strength. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So if you keep the word form part of your, in your mind and practice that, then you're less likely to.
Yeah, keep it before you at all times. Yeah.
So you have to have the word in you.
Yes. I know we've made statements like this before, but it's obvious that if Jesus becomes the Lord of your life, what does that involve? What does that mean? What does it mean for Him to be the Lord of your life? Yeah, he's in control. In other words, everything revolves around him, okay? And a lot of times we don't reach that point. Well, I guess we've never really fully reached that point, but we're working towards that all of our lives. But let's face it, we're basically selfish, are we not? I mean, we want to do what we want to do. But sometimes that's not the best thing for it. God knows what's best for us, okay? And so the more that we try to serve him, you know, the more we're going to read the Word and understand His will for us, and the greater our faith will become. So that's just a natural growth. Okay? All right. Something else that the Spirit does for us is that the Spirit seals us. Now, what does that mean, to be sealed? What is a seal? To protect it.
Yeah.
Keeps that air from getting to it and protect it, okay? Shows ownership. It's just like a brand. You know, the old cowboy used to brand their cows. Of course, I got to think people still brand their cows. You know, but that's to show that they own them. That that's their thing.
Used to put on an envelope, they'd seal it so that, you know, they would know that nobody had gotten to it.
Okay.
Like,
okay.
Yeah, this is from the king, or this is from...
Yeah, all the old kings used to have what they call a signet ring. It had some kind of a emblem on it, you know, and basically what they do is if they melt that hot wax and they pour it on there, and then they stick it on there, and that would be their seal. And no one could break that seal that wasn't authorized to do so. So that was the idea behind all that. That was their official seal. When they laid Jesus in the tomb, what did they do? Sealed it, okay? That way if anybody broke the seal, they would know that somebody had vandalized that. So that seal was sealed for a purpose. I know there are times when artists will maybe make a sculpture or something like that, and they'll put their seal on them. Or maybe you get a diploma from a university or some kind of notice from the government or something, and they will have a seal on it. Okay, what does that mean? It means it's official. Okay, that it's official. Okay, so the Scripture says that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. Well, what does that mean, to be sealed by the Holy Spirit? Okay, His approval, His brand, His mark, showing that we belong to God. Okay, so here is the way then that we can be identified with God and show that we belong to God. Now go over to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. Okay, so we're sealed. Go over to chapter 4, verse 30 of Ephesians. Okay, now these are special promises that are made to those who are baptized believers, okay? That God seals you, okay, with His promise of the gift of the Holy Spirit, okay? So that the idea that God's Spirit lives within you is God's seal that He has ownership of you. Okay? So that's a way of knowing. Now, here again, as I said before, we ask ourselves sometimes, well, is the Spirit living within me? You know, have I done what's necessary for the Spirit to live within me? Well, how do I answer that question? How do I know? Okay, there you go, walking in the light. If I hear the gospel, believe the gospel, repent of my sins, I'm baptized and God adds me to the church, the Spirit lives within me. And if I continue to walk in the light, then the Spirit continues to live within me. That's God's promise to each and every one of us, okay? Yes, you do. You did. You see, the Spirit, we can no more feel God's Spirit within us than we can our human spirit. We have a human spirit, do we not? You know, there's a spirit that lives in each and every one of us. Can we see and feel and touch that human spirit? Well, how do we know it's there?
Okay.
Well, yeah, if I live and I'm breathing, yeah, that's exactly right. That shows that the Spirit is within me. When the Spirit's gone, you know. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, and that's another sign then that the Spirit lives within me. Okay. 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 Yes. I'm sitting here talking and I'm going the wrong direction in the Bible. Okay. All right. Yeah, those are the signs there. Those are the signs that the Spirit lives within us. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. First Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. Someone have it? Okay, so here's a promise that God makes to those who have His Spirit living within them. Okay, what is that promise? What did He say? He said, I'm not going to allow you to be tempted by anything that you don't have the ability to overcome. Okay, this is one of God's promises. All right, now, I have to ask myself a question. Okay, if I am overcome by a temptation and I yield to that temptation, where does the problem lie? It lies right here, okay? And that's not necessarily a bad thing because what it does to me, it points out my weakness, okay? And that's one of the things that James teaches over in his gospel is that, count it all joy, my brethren, when you are tempted. Oh my goodness, why would I want to be tempted? Well, I don't want to be, but when I am, what does that tell me? I've got a problem in this area, okay? And I can concentrate on strengthening myself in that situation. So what God says is, I'm not going to allow you to be overcome by any temptation. Every temptation that comes your way, you have the capability by the Spirit that I've placed within you to overcome that temptation, okay? So that's a promise God has made to us, okay? That's part of being sealed by the Holy Spirit. All right. If I am overcome by that temptation, I need to get back in the book and maybe learn a little more and strengthen myself a little more so that the next time that temptation comes up, you know, I'll be a little stronger and I can say, not this time. Okay. And then I continue to grow. All right. And is that not what James also said? Is flee from the devil and what's going to happen? I resist the devil rather and he will.
Let's get behind me, Satan.
Yeah, get behind me, Satan. All right. You know, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. That's exactly right. Okay. Because if you learn to resist him, he has no power over you whatsoever. Okay. Now, I saw a good demonstration of this one. And I'm not going to do it. But the guy took his pen out and he held it like this, you know. And he said, "That's what God is all about. If you are a baptized believer, you have God and you have the Spirit. Okay. And there's nothing the devil can do to take that Spirit away from you." Yeah, it's through Jesus. Everything is through the blessing of Jesus. That's exactly where it comes from. Yes. Because of what Jesus did and who He was. Okay, He sent the Spirit, Jesus did. And we've got Him, baptized believer. Okay, devil can't do anything about it. But I can voluntarily choose to let Him go. Okay, that's the only power that Satan has over you and I today is the power that we give him. Have you ever thought about that? He can do nothing to us other than what we allow him to do. Okay, so that's something to think about. Okay, go over to Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14. I have it.
14.
That's what I wrote down.
Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation?
That's not the one I was looking for. I checked that twice. What I was looking for was that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord. That's not it. That's the one I was looking for, though, and I thought I wrote it down properly. Oh, well. First mistake today. I'm in trouble. All right. The idea of what I'm looking for is that all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord. Okay? What does that mean? What does that mean?
If you're in God, then God will work everything out for you.
Okay. I've had a lot of things happen in my life that weren't good. Okay, and I wouldn't want to call them good. Okay, I don't think that's what God was talking about. Okay. Okay. I heard it explained this way one time, and I like this explanation. Okay, because and when I think about a lot of the things that have happened in my life, they've not been good, and they really haven't worked towards my salvation. Okay. Now, my response to them could be good or bad, and I think maybe that's kind of the idea is how I'd respond to it. But someone explained it to me this way, and I think it's a good explanation, is that everything that God did as far as His plan of salvation is concerned is directed towards my salvation. So He's saying that all these things work to the good of my salvation. So God has made salvation possible for it. He worked it through His Son. He sent the Holy Spirit, and all of those things were done for my benefit. Okay? So I think that's kind of the idea. So it's not that every little thing is good or it works to the good. It's just that God is still on my side. Okay? And His Spirit is alive within me to show that He still cares for me. And all of those things work together to help me, you know, to keep my salvation. Does that make a little more sense? It did to me. I may be muddying it up a little bit, but I think that's a good way to think about it. So when we think about that idea, we can realize that God is doing everything that is possible as far as His plan is concerned for us to have eternal salvation. And if we don't make it to heaven, we can't blame God for that. Okay? We can only blame ourselves for those things. Okay. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. That may be the one I was looking for.
8:28
is what you're looking for. Is that the one I was looking for? Okay. I want to read verse 9. Okay. If he doesn't have the Spirit, he's not his. All right. Drop down and read verse 26. Okay. Let me back up a minute here because this passage over in Hebrews, I remembered why I put it down here now. I wrote down the wrong one for the point I was making. But this passage over in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14 says, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit eternal salvation?" Now go back up to verse 13. He says, "To which of the angels has he ever said, 'Sit at my right hand till I make your enemies a footstool'?" What he's talking about there, he's talking about angels in heaven. And those angels, those ministering spirits, okay, they're working to bring about God's plan on earth. Okay? Now, here's the point I wanted to make. How do those ministering spirits in heaven know which ones to do good to? Because that's what angels are for. Angels are designed to, as God's messengers, to do good things on earth. Okay? And they do those things to people who are followers of God. So how do they distinguish and know upon whom to bestow those blessings? Exactly right. Because we've been sealed with God's Spirit, and that seal identifies those. If you go over and read the book of Revelation, it talks about things like He gives to those who have the white robe, He gives them a white stone, and He says they're called by a new name. There's all kinds of things that we can make reference to here, showing that Christians are a special people, that they have a distinct characteristic. And one of the things about that is that we have the Spirit of God living within us, okay? And that gives us life. It makes us a different people, okay? We are the ones who are called the sons of God because that Spirit lives within us. Okay, so that's one of the things that we're talking about. Okay, now, sorry, Tommy, I jumped ahead over here on this idea because I remember what I was trying to say a while ago. The third thing that He does for us is that He assists us in prayer. Okay, now, are you still there? All right, in chapter 8, read verse 26 and 27 again. Romans chapter 8. Yeah, 26 and 27.
Likewise, the Spirit also helps our prophets. For we know not
Okay. The Spirit will help us with our prayers. Okay. Now that doesn't mean He's going to choose the moments when we pray. Okay. What's He going to do as far as our prayers are concerned? Oh, okay. Have you ever had a time in your life when you just didn't really know how to word something? Or, you know, just didn't know. You had something in your heart, but you just didn't know how to say it to God, you know. Well, that's the time when the Spirit who lives within us, He understands us, and He'll say it for us. Yeah, He intercedes for us, okay. And it also says the idea of even when it's our groanings and our moanings within us, okay. Have there been times when you're just so distressed? You know, you're so wrought in problems and trials that you just, you know, you want to pull your hair out sometimes. You don't know what to do. The Spirit that lives within you understands that. Okay? And see, even though Jesus is our intercessor between God, that Spirit intercedes also in the fact that He can interpret for us, you know, those ideas and tell God, says, look, this is what they mean. This is what's going on in their life. Isn't that a blessing? Even when I can't say it myself, you know, He says it for me. So don't worry about your prayers. You know, sometimes we think our prayers are silly. Well, you know, we get down and say, well, I didn't really say what I wanted to say. I didn't do what I wanted to do. Maybe I better say that again. Don't worry about it, okay? The Spirit knows, and He'll say it for you, okay? God will get the message. And to me, that's such a comfort. But I'll guarantee you, because there's times in my life when I say, well, that was a stupid prayer. You know, that didn't come out right or something. But the message got carried through. And that's what's so great.
I
know
about
these
thoughts, constant thoughts.
Yeah, okay.
Speaking to Him. I think
that's what one of the ideas that are implied by pray without ceasing. I may not, you know, be in this position, you know, but my thoughts are there, and the Spirit understands that, and those things get conveyed to God. Okay, that's part of walking in the light. You know, God picks up the slack for us when we can't do it ourselves. Okay, all right. So let's see, what else did we have here? There's one more thing I want to talk about here. The pledge of our salvation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. Someone have it? 2 Corinthians 5, 4 and 5.
For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee.
Okay. If you ever bought a house, at the very beginning, when you're looking at a house and you decide, yes, this is the house I want, what do they ask you for? They want a check. It's called earnest money. What does that mean? Well, earnest money means, yeah, I'm sincere. I'm not going to put you guys through a bunch of hassle. I'm sincere in what I'm doing. And if I renege on my promise, you can keep the money. Okay, that's earnest money. It's a promise that you are sincere and that you're going to follow through with what you said. Okay, it could be like a down payment. Okay, or is it a down payment? A down payment is that you're sincere and that you're going to follow through with the other payments. Okay, but what does God tell us here? He said the Spirit is your earnest. It's your pledge. A pledge for what? It's that heaven is a reality. Okay, and that there's going to be a home with Him in heaven, and the fact that the Spirit lives within you is His pledge to show that that is true. Okay, does that make sense? So now, see, God is the biggest cheerleader we've got. You know, He's up there, you know, rooting for us and doing everything He can to get us to heaven. He sends Jesus to die for our sins, and now He's got the Spirit there guiding us and leading us and interpreting our prayers. Okay. Boy, if we don't make it, we got problems, don't we? I mean, it really takes an effort not to make it to heaven, you know. So He's doing it all for us. All we've got to do is just believe it and live it. Okay? So that's the idea. Okay, we're about out of time. I wanted to mention one more thing. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 through 21. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 through 21. Okay, I'm going to read that.
And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another in psalms and hymns with spiritual songs. Sing and make a melody with your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and God, even the Father. And be subject to one another in the fear of Christ.
Okay. Submitting to one another. Okay, that's the idea we're talking about. When we become Christians, we're going to, it's kind of frightening in a way when you think about it, but we're going to put all our past behind us. Okay, we're going to forget about all those things that are gone behind. We're going to conform to what God wants us to do. And basically, you know, now we're maturing. The Spirit is guiding us. Given us the blood of Jesus to convict us of our sins, okay? And so we're going to use this to help us to move on toward maturity. And what are the gifts of the Spirit, by the way? What are the gifts of the Spirit? Fruit of the Spirit, gifts of the Spirit. Okay, those are the ones we find over in Galatians chapter 5, okay? What that basically says is that the Spirit is living within you. The evidence of that Spirit that lives within you is that you're going to produce those fruits, which are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and all those other things. Okay? All right. Appreciate you guys. I ran a little over here, but thank you.